In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to all of our guests this morning. Welcome to Trinity. It is a blessing to be with you. For some reason, the story of Epiphany has been echoing in my heart and in my head all week. We heard this story last week, and I don't know why, but there's just something about these wise men that have been stuck in my brain. I keep thinking about their time in Bethlehem, their time with Jesus, this newborn baby. And most importantly, what happened to them when they left Christ's presence? Scripture tells us that following their time with Jesus, these wise men return home to the east by another way. For years, whenever I heard this closing sentence, I had this picture of the wise men heading back to their homeland on a more isolated or a less frequented route. Maybe something that we would do if we were trying to avoid Interstate 10. We'd maybe take the alternate route, US Highway 90. It's a little bit more long and it's a little bit less frequented, but it would get us to the same place and maybe a little bit more secretly. But this year, however, the wise men and their departure took on something different in my head. One that wasn't necessarily talking about the way that they took, the actual route that they took as they left, but in the way that they actually left. Meaning that as they left Jesus' presence, they were changed. They went home in a different way. They had become different with their visit with Jesus. They arrived as one type of person, and now they left as a new type of person. They had been transformed. They were now seeing the world through a new lens, a lens that will reshape the way they saw the world around them. It changed the way they interacted with people. It gave them a new perspective. And all of this was because they encountered and knelt alongside the light of Christ. Today in our church, we come close to this light again as we celebrate the baptism of our Lord. It is on this Sunday that we retell the story of Jesus' pilgrimage to the banks of the Jordan River, where he will be baptized by his cousin, John. And following this sermon, we will baptize into faith the newest members of our church family. It is on this Sunday that we are invited to come back and explore what baptism means in our own lives. We hear the story of Jesus' baptism and then witness and perform baptisms right here in this church. We literally get to see those walking in the footsteps of Jesus. We participate in one of the oldest and most sacred traditions that is performed in our church. It's no coincidence that the baptism of Jesus was performed in the murky waters of the Jordan River. For centuries, the banks of the Jordan have been a place of rebirth and rededication for the people of God. Just to the north of where Jesus was baptized was the location that Abraham once pilgrimaged to from his homeland. He was answering the call of God to find a land that will one day be the home to a new people. These people set apart to proclaim God's purpose for the world. Decades later, Abraham's grandson Jacob will also travel to this area as he flees the anger of his brother Esau. And it's during this journey that he witnesses the heavens open up. He sees angels ascending and descending from the heavens. A message to us that the heavenly realm is connected here to us on earth. Just to the east of the river is a mountain called Mount Nebo. It was atop this mountain that Moses would come to the end of his life. He had just spent 40 years in the desert in the Exodus, and now God has brought him to the top of this mountain to look across this great plain, this land dripping with milk and honey, as they say. Cutting through it is this river. An abundant river that's giving life to the desert nearby. This is where God will establish a new people. They are no longer those freed slaves from Egypt. but they're now being called to be a community of priests. Joshua, the one who takes over for Moses, will lead this collection of freed Hebrews into their native land. And as each one of them walks into the water of the Jordan, they are changed. They emerge on the other side, reborn. They're redeemed. They're set apart, now called Israelites. They will be God's holy kingdom. So just as the Jordan River represented rebirth and dedication in the times of our scriptures, the waters we use for baptism today also link us to God's sacred story. We too will go into these waters, a broken people, and we emerge changed. We're commissioned for something new. Even though baptism marks us as Christ's own forever, our story is far from over when we are baptized. In our baptism, our story is really just beginning. As we grow and mature because of it, we are made vulnerable to the truth of God, that we were not created to be individuals. We were created to be members of communities, to be connected with one another. The language of our baptismal service transports us, as you will see, back to the beginning of creation, the time when the Spirit of God hovers over the waters of the deep. We are told that this light breaks through this darkness, changing everything that the light touches. And as we witness the baptism of others today, we remember the moments in our lives when we have also felt that light pass through us, breaking away the darkness in our lives, when we heard our names spoken to us from a sacred place within us, the voice coming deep down, God saying, "You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased." Our baptismal covenant makes it clear that we are more than just spirits and souls, that we have real bodies. We are real human beings. This is why Jesus knew that he needed to lead by example and be baptized. Jesus wanted to show us that although we are made of this flesh and bone, we are also made to reflect the image of the divine. If we come close, we can walk into the testaments of the miracles of God. Our baptism is a public statement to the world, a statement that says that we do not need others to declare who we are, for we have already been claimed by the Holy Spirit. And so as we witness the baptism of others in our community, let us constantly be reminded them and the families, to remind them and their families that they are supposed to grow up in this community. We are supposed to lead as an example, that we are never really finished living into our baptism, and that we are always constantly seeking at what it means. So now let us return to John the Baptist. And at the very moment, he is lowering Jesus into the waters. John is looking into the eyes of his cousin. They're dark, brown, rich, and deep. And as he begins to move Jesus down into the water, he watches Jesus slowly close his eyes as Jesus deeply takes a breath before going under. As Jesus is under the water, something in John brings his eyes upward. He begins noticing that the clouds above him have shifted apart in some way, and high up in the sky, there's a speck of light that is starting to spark and flutter. As he strains to see in the distance, he sees this speck growing larger and larger, the closer and closer it comes to him on earth. It's just then when he remembers where he is and his focus turns back downward. And as if in slow motion, he lifts Jesus back out of the water. Jesus exhales, his eyes begin to open. And John is particularly aware of the weight of Jesus. He seems heavier now. His clothes are soaked with the waters of the Jordan. The water is sanctified. It's sacred as it runs down the lengths of Jesus' arms, past his fingertips and back into the water below. A voice booms from the sky. At first, John doesn't really recognize where this voice is coming from, but somehow he's immediately comforted by it. It's a voice that's been waiting for him to hear it down inside of him. This voice that has been silent for so many years, a voice that the Israelite people have yearned to hear for centuries. John knows that this moment is sacred. A voice is speaking to the masses that has not been spoken of since the time of Moses at Mount Sinai. The words that are spoken, "This is my beloved with whom I am well pleased." A smile crosses Jesus' face as his gaze blankly goes into the sky. He's looking at something up there. John stands in true amazement at what has taken place. He starts to look upward also, following Jesus' gaze. And that's when he sees it. And the image is up there in our window. A bird descending, a dove, a bird of peace and of promise. John and Jesus lock eyes. They begin smiling with one another that is only made possible because they've experienced the divine. I've noticed that apart from the occasional infant being baptized, nobody ever frowns at a baptism. When we baptize, we are given a glimpse of the divine. We find ourselves smiling with one another, just as John and Jesus had done on the banks of the Jordan. And if you don't believe me, just look around today as we baptize our newest members into our church. When we baptize, we remember our connection with one another. We renew our baptismal vows, and that leaves us changed. We leave this place just as the wise men had, transformed because we had come close to Christ. Just like Abram was changed to Abraham, Jacob into Israel, the Hebrews into Israelites, we too are changed when we come close to God, when we are set apart to go out into this world. So I pray that this morning, as we baptize our newest family members, that your baptism also echoes in your heart, that you remember to rekindle the light of Christ that is within you, that you leave this place with a new lens, shining the light of God into the darkness of the world around us. As the chaplain of the school, kids often ask me, why doesn't God speak to people today like God did back in the Bible? And I'm quick to respond to say, how do you know that God isn't speaking to you today just like God does in the Bible? Today, we come close to that voice in our lives. That voice that whispers to us, that knows our name, the one that calls us the beloved, and in whom God is well pleased. Amen.